Hey, I'm Jeremy Loeb with WCQS News. You're about to hear an interview with Frank Moretz. He's a Republican running for North Carolina House District 115 in Buncombe County. His opponent is incumbent Democratic Representative John Ager. You can hear an interview with Ager separate from this. Frank Moretz, thank you so much for coming in. Because you're sort of an unknown quantity for a lot of our listeners, if you could just sort of tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm a retired physician. I practiced anesthesia here in Asheville for 35 years, and I'm concerned about the fact there's only one physician in that legislature right now, and with issues such as mental health, Medicaid reform, the narcotic addiction crisis, COPA, and the certificate of need, I think another physician needs to be down there. I'm a small business owner. I am a partner at Highland Brewing. I know how the regulatory environment makes it difficult to start, to grow, and to even to run a business. I'm also on the Board of Visitors of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm a product of public education. I'm a strong supporter of public education. And I'm a veteran. And homelessness and joblessness for veterans is everybody's concern.
When did you serve?
I had 2 years active duty in San Antonio, 1978 through 1980. Then I did 6 years in the reserves with one deployment for 3 months in Washington, D.C.
And what is your background in politics?
I don't have any background in politics. I've been concerned what's going on in Raleigh down there, and I've advocated for medical liability reform and several other issues down there. So I know how the sausage is made, but as far as this is my first time at running for office.
And when you talk about your concern about what's happening in Raleigh, of course, we'll get into more of the specifics, but kind of broadly speaking, what's your major concern?
My major concern is effective representation from Buncombe County. The North Carolina Center for Public Policy Research, an independent, nonpartisan body actually run by a Democrat, did an effectiveness rating of all the legislators. John Ager came in 119 out of 120. Buncombe County needs more than that. We've got a lot of needs here. The legislature tends to think that North Carolina does not go from Murphy to Manio. It goes from I-77 to I-95. And we need strong representation from Buncombe County to get our fair share.
So John Ager, he was a first-term representative. So he would probably fall lower on that list in general just because of lack of seniority. Do you think that you'll be able to do a better job, and why do you think that is?
Absolutely. I've worked with both parties over the years for my causes that I advocated for as president of the Western Carolina Medical Society and other issues, and I've worked with both parties, and I know I can do it, and I also know how to negotiate compromise, two terms that are not being used very much in politics right now.
Let me ask you some of the specific issues. One of the big things that came up in this past session, the short session, was the Asheville Districts Bill. Now, I know that you've talked about that before in a forum that you did, but can you tell me what your position was on that bill and how it played out? What did you think of all that went on with that?
You know, I wasn't there. I didn't participate in the discussions, and so I can only speculate. All I know that it's worked very well for the county. Now, it's kind of odd that the city was not brought into the discussions at all, and I am a little concerned about that. But as far as the, I don't know what your question is, but if it's, do I believe that letting each district have their own representation, you know, I believe in self-determination. And right now, South Asheville is not fairly represented in the city council. So anything that could do to help that would be fine. But I do think the city should be involved.
So you're in favor of some sort of districts as long as the city has a voice at the table,
yes,
essentially. Well, what about the other representatives? Because the other representatives from Buncombe County, besides Tom Apodaca at the time, were all opposed to this idea. And it may have been that they were opposed to the process, like you talked about.
I think that's what I've heard, at least. Mm-hmm. And so the process I do have concerns with. And I think that the voters ought to determine it. So let them decide whether they would like to have their own representative or whether they just want to be part of the group.
So if a district's bill did come up again, you'd be in favor of giving Asheville maybe a referendum to vote on it, possibly?
Well, Asheville can still do that. And it's just, it is the legislative's responsibility to approve that if they do that. But that's the route I would like to see happen. And I don't, from what I hear, there wouldn't be much opposition in Raleigh if they did that. Now, would I endorse a bill to force it on Asheville without their participation? I would like to be part of that discussion. But right now, until I'd see the bill and heard what they had to say and discussed with the Asheville itself, then no, I would not.
What did you think about the efforts across the state to, some would say, meddle in local affairs, the Wake County Board of Commissioners, the Greensboro City Council, and then the effort at the end for the Asheville City Council. What did you think about the efforts by especially Republican leaders to make changes to local city councils and boards of commissioners?
You know, that's what the state government's charged with. If you don't like that, then change the state law and get them to pass some regulations. But that is their charge of what they are supposed to do. Now, you can call it meddling if you want to, but it's doing their job. There again, I'd have to look at an individual basis, and sometimes the state knows better for a local community than the community does. The community has self-serving interests, and the state really doesn't have that much in the way of self-serving interests. You have to protect the citizens one way or the other.
What would you say to the arguments that they are for partisan game, like Republicans making changes so that they can elect more Republicans?
That's been part of the process for years. And if they want to redistrict and change, then that might be one way to handle that. But it's still representation. For instance, if South Asheville got their representation, they'd have one of the city council people. That would not affect what was going on the city council whatsoever. But the people in South Asheville would have somebody they could go to and talk to and feel connected with. So there's part of that as well. And the city has not done it, so the state stepped in.
Okay. Well, what about other election changes? You know, we've had a rash of court rulings in the past couple of months striking down laws that either they were maps or they were the voter ID law. Let me ask you specifically about the voter ID law first. And what did you what do you think about the state having voter ID? And also to extend that, what about early voting? And I know we're waiting on a decision today from the State Board of Elections on a number of counties' early voting plans.
First, for voter ID, as a physician, I think everybody ought to carry ID. It's first responders need to know who they're working with, and it's just an extension of that to have it to vote. But everybody ought to be carrying an ID.
So you'd be in favor of a voter ID law?
Yes.
What about some of the other changes that were made in that 2013 law as far as shortening the early voting period, eliminating Sunday voting, things like that, that the court struck down as discriminatory towards black voters?
Yeah, the court, as I understood it, just struck it down because there was some discussions that did that because of racial lines, and that's certainly wrong if that's in fact what happened. The longer you extend the early voting, for me as a candidate, it's certainly going to be more difficult for me. That means people are going to be exposed to signs on the road a week longer and the nuisance factor of having a longer election. As far as how many more people will vote with adding 1 week in one Sunday, I don't really know. This will be an experiment to see whether it affects the voting or not.
Mm-hmm. What about as far as keeping hours, more hours for early voting sites? Would you be in favor of more early voting hours, or would you hew to the GOP leader's directive towards county boards of elections to limit early voting as much as possible?
Well, the County Board of Elections have to determine who's going to man the polls. It really should be left up to them as to what the hours will be. When I was practicing, I'd often go into work at 6:30 and not get out to 7:30 that night, and the polls would be closed that day. I always, almost always, early voted. So I don't know that extending the hours on early voting would help or hurt.
Okay, I see. As far as the maps that were struck down, you know, regardless of how the maps were drawn, they've been struck down by the courts. So we get into this battle, whether it's Democrats in charge or whether it's Republicans in charge, the alleged gerrymandering. And of course, each party has in the past tried to draw maps to their benefit so that they can elect more of their members. What do you think about that as a practice? I mean, just in general.
Well, that's been the policy for years and years and years, and it depends which party is in power every 10 years to decide how the districts are drawn. And some of them were done along racial lines, but for instance, Alma Adams was a black representative. She lives in Greensboro now. She's running in Mecklenburg County because of the court redistricting. Is that fair? Well, I think North Carolina with 12 representatives should have a black representative, but for her to run in Charlotte in Mecklenburg County is a bit strange for me. If that is more fair than the previous districting, I don't understand that at all. So what is a fair way to redistrict? Do you do it on county lines? Quite often county lines don't really determine the electorate's commonality. I've seen some computer models, and they base it on population, and they look pretty good, and they're probably just as fair as anything else. But certainly in this case, there was some gerrymandering, and the courts called them on it. And the courts can correct excessive abuse of the system. So there are checks and balances out there.
Now, 8 former judges recently, 4 Democrats, 4 Republicans, I think it was out of the Duke Sanford School of Policy, put out these maps, and they were sort of intended to be a demonstration of what nonpartisan maps could look like. What do you think about the efforts? And I believe the House has actually put forth some effort to create an independent redistricting committee. Would that be something that you'd be in favor of?
I'd like to see what they come up with, but there again, there's some prejudice in however, even computers have some prejudice in it. So it's a matter of looking what's generated and letting each community see if they think it's fair or not.
Let's talk a little bit about House Bill 2, switching gears. That's been a huge issue. What did you think about that whole thing? What did you think about House Bill 2 itself?
As a physician, I know we don't treat the symptoms, we treat the disease underneath. And as a legislator, I would like to be down there and not treat the perceived problem, but treat the root of the problem. The problem was not bathrooms. The problem was that Charlotte passed an unconstitutional ordinance, and that's what should have been directed. As far as the bill is goes, it's the same statute that the federal government and 20 other states have. They were told that's the way it was. They said, let's vote on this and go home. There was not a whole lot of foresight or thought about the bill. It was successful in other places, so they just went ahead and did it. To me, it doesn't offer any additional protection from what the current statutes say, and I don't like legislation that's either unenforceable or unconstitutional, and this has earmarks of both. It's in the courts now, and they will ultimately decide.
I see. So when you say that Charlotte passed an unconstitutional ordinance, why do you say that it's unconstitutional?
The state has the regulatory authority to regulate commerce. By Charlotte telling businesses what they had to do, that violated the Constitution, by my understanding.
And as a small business owner yourself, you know, you're co-owner of Highlands Brewing Company, is that the kind of thing that would offend you as a business owner to have the city telling you how you should regulate your bathrooms?
Well, I mean, there's regulations all over, and yes, there's too many regulations out there. There was not a problem before Charlotte passed the ordinance. Nobody was having a problem. We weren't having any problem. They passed the ordinance, and it snowballed. So if they left things alone, everybody would have been happy, and we would be out of this mess that we're in now. But I don't like unnecessary regulation, to answer your question.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you sort of blame Charlotte first, but then you think that the legislature's response was that they went overboard with it and didn't really deliberate enough. Is that?
I think that's true. They didn't hear testimony from constitutional lawyers, for instance. They didn't hear from the transgender community. If you read the bill, it's not as bad as everybody says it is. It never doesn't mention transgenders at all. As a physician, I know that what's on your birth certificate may not be accurate. I would like to have been down there to participate in those discussions, which is why I think we need another physician down there.
What about the other parts of that bill as far as limiting cities and towns from passing protections for the LGBT community? And also sort of doing away with a minimum wage. Why did they tackle so many things in that bill? I know you can't really answer for
I really
what they
can't did, because I wasn't there for the discussions. I just hear second and third hand. And as far as those two parts, the bathroom part, it's more than enough time to talk about that. So I can't really respond to that. It seems curious to me that they tried to do that much. Short-term legislation like that, where you don't get testimony from all the involved parties, I think always is fraught with problems. One thing I want to do, I'm not a politician. I don't have all the answers. I don't have a solution for all the problems, but I will listen to both sides, and then I think I can fairly and objectively decide what is best.
Mm-hmm. The reaction from the corporate world to House Bill 2 was pretty swift. You know, we had some canceled expansions in North Carolina. The NBA All-Star Game, of course, was moved from Charlotte. So there has been this huge backlash to the bill. How would you address that as a legislator? Would you try to repeal House Bill 2? Would you like it changed? What do you think about that?
I have heard, and I don't have absolute evidence of this, that if Charlotte will withdraw its ordinance, they will repeal House Bill 2. So that would be one solution to the issue. As long as that ordinance is out there, the current legislators do not feel that they can repeal the law. And it is what's in 20-some other states. PayPal, for instance, has facilities in some of those states. It's absolute hypocrisy on their part. I encourage everybody to read the bill. It's not as bad as everybody says, and it's certainly not as good as everybody says. It's a flawed bill, but it was based on what was done in other parts of the country.
But don't businesses have the right to, you know, sort of make decisions based on their political views if they decide, you know, I don't like this, what you're doing in this state, so I'm going to move it to another state? You call it hypocrisy. Isn't that their right as a business?
It's absolutely their right as a business, but I think the premise that they're basing that on is flawed. and the fact that they are not pulling out of states where they have the same ordinance. If they were so concerned about this ordinance, then they should pull out of those states as well.
So it sounds to me like you would favor sort of a broader discussions with the city of Charlotte, more focused discussions. Is that something that you might pursue if you were a legislator, if this issue of House Bill 2 comes up?
There's an interdependence between municipalities and the state government, and right now they're not communicating all that well. Yes, I would like to see improved communications before the two. Before a municipality passes a law like that, they should discuss it with the legislators in Raleigh, and the legislators in Raleigh should discuss things like the districting with the municipalities. Both sides are wrong, and both sides need to get together and work together.
Let's talk about education funding a bit. That's become a big issue in the race for governor, especially as Pat McCrory has talked about the pay raises that he gave to teachers. And I think Roy Cooper's position is that maybe the pay raises didn't go far enough. So, you know, there's this back and forth. Of course, it's politics involved. But what do you think the job of the legislature has been, while you've been watching the legislature? How do you think they've done as far as education spending, and where would you like to take it?
Well, first of all, they started behind the eight ball. We were much lower in teacher pay 4 years ago than we are currently. We were 41st in the nation. Now we're 26th in the nation with new pay raises. 2.7% pay raises makes it the largest pay raise in the country. It puts us on par with the surrounding states. I think more can be done there. I want to encourage and retain our best teachers. Education is our future. Our per capita student spending is very low. We need to work on that. It's not just throwing money at the issue, though. It's how you spend that money. And right now, we're regulated by the federal government to one size fits all in education. And I don't think that's proper. You need to tailor the education for the student's needs. And to me, education should prepare a student for career and or college. And I would like to see the students exposed to careers as early as middle school so they can pick the educational track that's best for them and have funding available to do that. So that if you're going to college, rather than be a philosophy major, you will know what major you need to pursue the career that you want. And college may not be for everybody, and the students should be exposed to options.
Well, when you talked about the federal government regulating schools, were you talking about Common Core?
Yes.
Okay. And so what did you think about Common Core? Is that something that you would like to see just go away completely or tweaked?
It has not been proven to be effective. Mm-hmm. So is it hindering? Probably so. Our students are being taught to test well in mathematics and English. And there's lots out there. Kids don't know history now. You talk to any of the young kids and you start asking some history questions, and that's a shame. There's much more to education than just passing exams. And so I think Common Core has done a disservice as far as that's concerned. We don't have anything better to replace it. And it's only been out there a few years. It's still an experiment in progress, but it has not been shown to have any results as of yet.
Well, speaking of experiments, one thing that the Republican majority has done is expand the voucher program for sending kids in low-performing schools over to private schools. What did you think about the voucher programming? And are you in favor of this expansion that they've got planned for it, pumping more money into that?
I have mixed feelings about that. There's no question that some of the public schools are failing the students, and they need options. And I believe in options, whether it's a charter school or anything else. There again, charter schools are an experiment. They have not been shown to be that more effective than traditional education. But certainly for private education, all private education is not the same. Some of the vouchers go to schools that do what they're supposed to do. Other schools are not so much. They're just there to make some money. And there is you don't have the same regulation of these private schools that you do with the public schools. And so I would like to see the state, since they're providing the money, get a little more information on the students for that money.
I see. Okay. And so as someone who favors choice, what did you think of the previous, I think it was 100 school cap on charter schools that we had before that was lifted? And I think we've close to doubled the number of charter schools. But what do you think of this expansion of charter schools? And what did you think about the cap before?
Well, I think the cap was good because it was an unknown territory. And so you see what it is, and it's still an experiment. They still do not have the data that shows it's any better than traditional education. So expanding it, perhaps, as far as I know, is not doing any harm, but it is taking up funds that could be used in other schools. So we need to look at it very carefully and see what the results are.
Now, as a business owner, you may be helpful in this discussion, talking about taxes now. Of course, we're talking about individual taxes right now, but the income taxes were lowered by the legislature. The sales taxes were expanded to more services. What do you think about that kind of shift in tax policy that took place over the past couple of years?
Well, ultimately, it's been good. We're the third fastest, regardless of HB2, we're the third fastest growing state in the union. And my concern is that most of those jobs are going to Piedmont and not coming up here to Western North Carolina. So we don't need to raise any more taxes. We're the eighth most populous state in the country right now. And we have enough people coming in with good jobs that the taxes are going to be increased regardless. In fact, we could probably bring the taxes down a little bit more. As far as the new taxes, I wasn't there to participate in the discussions. I understand the concern about that. So I don't really understand what their thinking was, except that these services should have been taxed all along.
John Ager also brought up some of his emphasis on rural areas too. And we didn't get into it as much talking about the sort of divide in prosperity between the cities and rural areas. But like you said, you're concerned that jobs are coming to the Piedmont, you know, there are these city centers like the Triangle, Charlotte, they are booming while the rest of the state is sort of lagging behind. How, besides just necessarily tax policy, how do we sort of address that disparity?
Well, for instance, what we did several years ago with tourism was they formed the TDA, the Tourism Development Agency, and they marketed Asheville as a tourist destination, and it was phenomenally successful. Perhaps a combination of government and private enterprise could come together to do something similar to that to attract a good, clean business that pays good wages. So it's possible to do out there. I don't think it's a government responsibility to do that. A joint venture like that, I think, is the answer to get the business to come up here, but it is going to take marketing to get the business to come here. We have great infrastructure here. We have high-speed internet. Except for the I-26 connector, we have great transportation. We have great educational facilities. This area is ripe for a boom.
Let's shift gears a bit to environmental issues, which I think are important to you. I know as a co-owner of Highland Brewing Company, your company is notable for having gone to solar energy in the past. What do you think of the job of the legislature, sort of just first, broadly speaking, the job of the legislature on environmental issues?
Well, I wish you could be more specific about that. Certainly what they did several years ago by suing the TVA. I've lived here in Asheville for 37 years now, and the air is cleaner, the water is cleaner. What they've been doing is tremendous because it was not very pleasant when I first came here, and that was all done down in Raleigh. So the trend is very good. There's more that can be done, yes, but you can't stifle the economy by doing that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get more specific then. Let's talk about some renewable energy issues. The Renewable Energy Portfolio Standard, there's been efforts over the past several years by Representative Mike Hager, who is now retired, has put this effort forward a number of times to sort of freeze or even eliminate REPs. Where do you stand on that? And then also on the solar tax credit, which was allowed to repeal?
We're learning this lesson all over again. We had solar energy back in the 80s. I put solar panels on my house then, and they removed the tax credits, and the business crumped and went away. So, yes, okay, you're not getting some taxes on the tax credits that are getting there. On the other hand, you're stimulating growth, you're creating jobs, you're helping the environment. So I think it's a win-win.
A win-win as far as the solar tax credit?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so you're disappointed that the state let the state tax credit go away for solar energy?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen the numbers as whether it's hurt the industry or not. Certainly back in the 80s, it was the federal government and the state that removed their tax credits, and that did kill the industry. So I would be willing to sit back and see how this goes.
Yeah, and the federal standards are still in place. The state tax credit is no longer in place. Another thing that the legislature recently attempted was to ban wind farms across much of the state. There was an effort put forward to protect the military flight zones, and what they did was cut off large swaths of the state. It was most of the state to wind farms. What did you think of that effort, and what do you think about wind energy in general?
I don't have a problem with wind energy. I do have some problems with wind farms. If you're putting those wind farms out there in the desert, it's perfectly fine. But up here, you're cutting trees. And the best thing you can do for the environment is keep your trees. And there are low-flying military helicopters that go over my house. I understand their need is to train in the mountains. And we do have significant wind up here. But to me, cutting trees for a wind farm just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. What about the wind farms in eastern North Carolina, you know, some wind farms that they have going right now, one for Amazon in some of the northeastern counties up there?
I would still rather have the trees.
Well, what if they're not cutting down any trees? I think they're putting them in farm areas. And in some cases, the farmers themselves are happy about it because this is a profit for them.
Yeah, if it's fine for the if they get a rental fee for the wind farm, then that's perfectly fine. If the land is being already cultivated for something else, then that's fine as far as I'm concerned. I know in the old days that the wind farms would disrupt television, but with the digital system we have now, I don't think it does that anymore. But you need to look at the entire environmental impact when you do that.
Mm-hmm. So looking at that and sort of getting towards this Asheville power plant that we have, we're converting from, Duke Energy is converting from coal to natural gas. How do we power our future in a way that's clean and addresses the issues of climate change?
Well, I mean, this is a stopgap measure, but it's still much better than coal. What's more, we will become an energy exporter rather than energy importer. The option is not to build the power plant and have power lines come up from South Carolina. We've already seen that the people do not want that to happen. So they can use the existing routes that they have now and produce energy, excess energy, which would be good for economic growth here in the area, until some other technology comes along. And there again, solar farms are just as bad. We can put them on roofs, of course, but as we did the brewery, but they're just as destructive to trees as the wind farm. So until another energy source goes, let's go with the cleanest, most efficient way we have now, which is natural gas.
Mm-hmm. So you think that in general, they've done a pretty good job with the plant as far as the conversion, and you like what they're doing there?
I mean, there's compromises, but I think it's the best solution that we currently have. A big wind farm or a big solar farm would not generate the energy that we need to develop this area.
Okay. Well, since you are a former physician, let's talk about some health issues. And talking about Medicaid, what do you think of the changes that have been made to Medicaid in North Carolina? There was sort of a privatization a bit of the coverage for Medicaid. Can you tell me what you thought of those efforts?
I have concerns. They're trying to privatize it, and the private companies have shareholders, and they're going to take 20% off the top. And that generally means less money for the providers and for the institutions and less services for the insured. In other states, it's a mixed bag as to how well it's worked. The 11 largest hospital systems in the state are now forming ACOs, accountable care organizations, hopefully that will be able to compete with these for-profit companies. There's another group that's already here, CCNC, that took care of primary care, but it doesn't have any specialty care now. That could be grown into another entity that should be able to handle it. So I have concerns about privatization, but there is not anything out there right now that can take it on.
Okay. As far as Medicaid expansion, this is probably something that is not going to occur anytime in the near future if Republicans are in charge, because there seems to be opposition to the expansion of Medicaid from the Republican Party. What do you think about expanding Medicaid as far as looking into the future?
Well, the Republicans that I've talked to, at least, said mm-hmm. they want to reform Medicaid before they take on the discussion of whether they expand it or not. And they've certainly done a good job up to now, saving $300 million last year alone. There's still a lot of fraud, abuse, inefficiencies in the Medicaid system that can be brought down considerably. So some reform is necessary out there. The problem I have is our taxpayers are already paying for the Medicaid expansion, and this money is not brought back to the state that they can use in other programs. It's being shifted to other states to fund an unsustainable program. It will implode at some point in time, and it will be left to the states to pick up the pieces. But they're already paying for the health care of these patients. They're showing up in emergency rooms when their diseases have progressed to a later stage. Sometimes you spend a little more money up front and you save money longer term. And that's one thing some of these legislators don't understand. And so I think that would be money well spent, especially in a managed care program. And the patients have to have some skin in the game. They have to take care of themselves, manage their diabetes, lose weight, quit smoking. But if you do that, you will get a healthier population and your health care costs will drop dramatically.
Now, you were an anesthesiologist for many years. Now, you worked for Altair,
still am.
Right? Oh, you still are.
I'm not practicing, but I still am an anesthesiologist. I still have my license.
Okay, well, great. And you were with Altair, right?
Yes.
Okay. Were you sort of involved in lobbying for Altair to the legislature, or do I have that right? Is that incorrect?
I was a vice president for legislative affairs. And
I see.
So
right.
I did represent Altair with the local representatives and senators.
Okay. And what sort of work did that involve? Like, what were you hoping that they could do?
Well, the medical liability reform. I mean, we were in a crisis several years ago. Physicians were talking about retiring early, limiting their practice because of the high medical liability rates. And so the trial lawyers said, no, people who were injured wouldn't get fair reimbursement. Well, we've had this law for 4 years now, and what we found is the physicians didn't retire early. They didn't limit their practice. Malpractice rates dropped by 25%. The number of lawsuits dropped by 75%. And in 4 years' time, there has not been one case of a patient that was unfair, did not receive fair compensation.
Is this something that you'd like to work on if you're elected to the legislature?
Certainly, we've come a long way, but there's more that could be done as far as that's concerned. But there was other issues we dealt with in Raleigh from time to time. Insurance issues, for instance. The only check and balance we have with the insurers as a physician is through the legislature. So there was many, many issues down there that affects the medical community, and that's why I think we need to have another physician down there.
When I was talking to John Ager, your opponent, about it, and I asked him to sort of draw a contrast between you and him, his criticism, and I'll give you a chance to respond to, was that he was worried that you would be sort of a special interest person, like working towards a special interest for this kind of group. What would you say to that?
Well, to me, I have been working with both Republicans and Democrats, and I have found the Democrats to be far more subject to special interest than the Republicans have been. And I am an independent thinker, and yes, I am a physician, but there are times when I will go against my physician colleagues when I think that's better for the ultimate good of the entire community. However, physicians I do not think are fairly represented down there, and that's why I think to go down there. I'm not going down there to make the physician's life better. Mm-hmm. That is not my goal. I have, like I said, four things that I think are qualities and experience and skills and the knowledge that I have from my background that will be helpful down there. Medicine is just one of them.
And so I'll pose you the same question that I gave to John Ager. And where do you see a contrast between you and your opponent?
John seems to think that the government knows better for what the people need than the people do themselves. And that is a big difference between us. I don't see that at all. John also thinks that the state ought to be paying for all kind of entitlements. And like I said, throwing money at a problem is not the issue. Everybody has to have skin in the game. If you're talking about medical reform, for instance, it can't just be the hospitals and the providers that are there. You have to have the insurance companies. You have to have the drug companies. You have to have the equipment companies. And the patients need to be at the table, too. So right now, government can't do it by itself. He seems to think that they can.
Another way to sort of differentiate, obviously there's the party difference, Republican, Democrat, and I asked him about the races for president, Senate, governor, and I'll ask you the same. What do you think about the presidential race as far as, you know, your party having Donald Trump at the top of the ticket? What do you think about Donald Trump? What do you think about Hillary Clinton? How do you think about that race?
I mean, the people chose Donald Trump. You can blame the party as much as you want to. And I hear a lot of the party says this and the party says that. Well, the party has been very good to me. And I told them I'm an independent thinker. And they encouraged that. They have not told me to take a stand on HB2. They have not told me to what I should and should not say. And I found them very, very easy to work with. Now, Donald Trump is the Republican nominee. I've been a Republican since June a year ago. And I don't automatically give my vote to anybody. As of yet, Mr. Trump has not earned my vote. I won't say you can't. There's still time to see what happens. We have 60 days or so. As far as Mrs. Clinton, we know what kind of entity she is. So she will not get my vote.
I see. Okay. So does that mean that you could be looking towards a third party possibly if Trump doesn't earn your vote?
Well, that could be. I won't rule that possibility out. There again, I need more information, and we'll gather that between the now and the election.
What are your criticisms of Donald Trump and of Hillary Clinton?
Well, Hillary Clinton is more of the same, and it's the big government there again. They know better for what the citizens need. She wants to raise taxes, and that stifles the economy. Mr. Trump's an unknown, and so that's about the biggest thing I could say. Yes, he's a successful businessman. Does that translate into a successful president? I don't know. We don't really have a model for that as of yet. So he's an unknown, and Secretary Clinton is a known, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Republicans who have come out against Donald Trump have said that he is dangerous in his sort of rhetoric. He's a kind of a loose cannon, the way he talks, and some people like that about him. Some people don't like that about him. What do you think about some of the comments that he's made and just about his tendency to sort of speak off the cuff like that?
Well, you know what he thinks. I don't know what Secretary Clinton thinks. So you definitely know what he thinks. And he says some things that he will not retract. He will not apologize for. And I find that several of them very, very uncomfortable and certainly wouldn't be things that I would say. And I'm not even a politician. And there again, it's up to the electorate. Some of them like that. And so he's just playing to the people that he thinks are going to support him. whether I like it or not is irrelevant. It's the question of who would be the better president, and I have not made that decision yet.
Okay. Looking towards the governor's race, now Pat McCrory's been in office for 4 years. What do you think of the job that he's done, and how do you think that race is going so far?
Well, it's neck and neck. Everybody I've seen, all the polls and everything, says that can go either way. And there again, it's big government versus limited government. So I think he's done a good job. Yes, there are some environmental issues he's receiving criticism on, but overall, he's been very, very good for the economy of the state. So I do support him.
He did sign House Bill 2, which was one of his most recent acts. What did you think about his decision to sign that bill during this process, which you criticize as being way too quick and the process that you just didn't like?
Because of the number of votes passing the bill, he knew that a veto would be overridden. There's no reason that would just weaken his position with the legislature. He was in a tough position. He did what he had to do.
I see. Okay. So you kind of sympathize with him on the position that he was put in. But then wasn't it his decision to call the legislature back to deal with House Bill 2? I mean, he was very clear that he wanted this dealt with.
Well, yes. And he did want it dealt with. I'm not so sure he wanted it dealt with the way they dealt with it. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, yes. But the House also voted on that, too. They had to vote to come back. And the majority of the House members wanted to do that. And the majority of the citizens that were polled wanted them to do that. And the majority of citizens at the time were in favor of the bill.
Mm-hmm. And now a majority of the citizens are not in favor of the bill. But do you think that's because of the bill itself or the process or just this backlash that we've seen from businesses and entertainers and things like that?
I think it's all three. And mm-hmm. I think that's justifiable concern, quite honestly. Quick legislation just doesn't. A lot of legislation is too slow, don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. very fast legislation like that doesn't take into account all the parties, all the issues, and a simple fix is seldom that.
Do you have any concerns about Roy Cooper beyond what you've talked about, sort of the big government solutions versus small government? You know, he's been Attorney General, I think, for about 14 or 16 years now, so he's somewhat of a known quantity now. What do you think about the job he's done as Attorney General?
Until recently, I thought he did a great job when he said he would not defend House Bill 2, which is his job. To me, that is no different than a county clerk saying they're not going to marry somebody because they're gay. He violated his oath of office when he did that. I have strong concerns because of that, what kind of governor he would make. Will he only do what he wants to do, or will he do what he's charged to do by the office? And he's already proven he's willing to stand up and not do what he's charged to do with the office.
You know, I wasn't going to get into that, but since you brought it up, because you were talking about the issue of, you know, it's the same as someone saying they're not going to marry someone because they're gay. There has been an effort in North Carolina to pass legislation like that, giving magistrates the option of pulling out of officiating marriages. Where do you stand on that issue?
You know, that's a tough issue. I know everybody has their own personal beliefs, but if you're an elected official, then you have to do what the office tells you to do. If you can't do that with your own personal morals, then you probably shouldn't be in the office.
Is that an issue where, you know, you've talked about being an independent thinker? Is that the kind of issue where you think you could go to Raleigh and stand up to your leadership if your leadership was pushing you for passing a bill like that?
I certainly would inject my opinion on the issue, and if the bill, like any bill, no bill is perfect, and they add amendments and stuff that are completely unrelated to the bill. So if the overall bill was more good than bad, then I would support it. But if it's more bad than good or has one outlying thing that I think is terrible, then yes, I'd vote against it.
What about the race for Senate, getting back to the elections, the Senate race between Deborah Ross and Richard Burr? What do you think of the job of Richard Burr and of Deborah Ross, who we obviously know less about, though she was a state legislator, but she hasn't been as quite in the public eye as Richard Burr?
Well, I think Richard Burr's done an excellent job when he's been in Washington. It's a tough job, but he has seniority. He has clout now. He is making changes up there and effective changes. And so I would hate to see him replaced at this point in time. Deborah Ross, she's running a low profile campaign right now, and I don't know that much about her, quite honestly.
Well, those are my questions. I wanted to ask, you know, if you are elected and you get a chance to go to Raleigh, what, you know, you've sort of answered this a little bit, but what are some of the issues that you really hope to focus on and push for if you get the chance to represent the people of Buncombe County?
Well, education is number one, like I said. I think the public education system has served me very well, and I don't think it's serving the current population as well as it could. And I think there's some major reforms that could be handled there. Education is 57% of the state budget. And 22% of the state budget is health and human services. And so by being involved there and wisely using the state's money to provide the best care for the most people, I think would be very, very good too. And just like I did say, I am a small business owner and a veteran, and those issues come up as well. So my background, I think, is conducive to being part of these discussions. And I know people I can turn to ask more advice when I need to. It's not like I know everything.
Are there any issues, especially looking back at the legislature's work over the past few years, that I didn't cover that you think would be important to highlight?
Well, one thing is House Bill 1021. It's called the Jessica Lunsford Act. And in that, it prevents sex offenders from going to parks, playgrounds, state fairs, and public places like that. John Ager voted against that. In the Fairview Town Crier this past week, he said he didn't know what the bill was, and that's why he voted against it. Well, that's why he's being paid his salaries, to know what he's voting for or voting against. I have strong concern about that, and I would certainly have supported that bill. I know that sex offenders tend not to reform, and you need to protect the public from them.
All right. Well, Dr. Moretz, I really appreciate your time. Is there any message that you would like to send out to would-be voters or your supporters or anything like that?
Well, I'm the only opponent in Buncombe County for the state house. And I think that's a shame that we don't have more options. So I'm providing the voters with an option. And if they don't want my services, that's fine. I believe in service. I served my country for 8 years. I served my patients for 40 years. I'm serving the next generations by setting up 3 endowments at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, including the medical school here in Asheville, which I'm a big supporter of. We have 22 medical students going to go to 40 soon. And the emphasis is on rural medicine. It's a very, very exciting program. And I think I can help with all of those.
All right. Well, Dr. Moretz, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.